Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, we pray that you will this morning fulfill your promise and send your Holy Spirit to attend this word, your word, and we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I think one of the most useful invitations of all, inventions of all time has to be the battery, don't you think? They come in all shapes and sizes and all kinds of voltages, and we use them for all kinds of things. They've been around for centuries, not energizers, but other kinds of batteries. The earliest battery that is known looks like a big pot, and it's called the Baghdad battery. It was invented, or at least used, sometime around the year 250 BC. They think it was used for electroplating. I think maybe they had the Baghdad bunny that went around and kept going and going and going back then, but I don't know that. They didn't find a Baghdad bunny. But modern batteries are much smaller and much more portable than that. We use them in a bewildering number of devices, don't we? Like flashlights, MP3 players. I don't know if anybody still has MP3 players, but we use them in cars to start our car, and some cars are even powered by them. They allow us to unplug our cell phone and walk away from the cord or our laptop. But eventually they run down, don't they? They run down and they die. Sometimes they die for good. Even the rechargeable ones eventually will die because they have a limited lifespan. And no one has yet, as far as I know, come up with a good use for a dead battery. I guess one this big you'd use for a paperweight, maybe. But I don't know what else. How many times have they died just when you needed? How many times have you pleaded with the battery in your cell phone? Just give me 5 more minutes. Come on. I just need to make one more call. Just a little bit, right? As far as I know, a dead battery is just plain worthless, right? Wouldn't it be nice to have one that didn't need to be recharged, never lost its power, and never needed to be plugged in and anything or replaced? Wouldn't that be great to have a battery like that? Well, you know, our lesson for this morning from the book of Hebrews says the same thing about priests. Here's our lesson. It's found in Hebrews chapter 7, beginning with verse 23. And listen to what it says. Also, there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, that is Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to also save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This week, we've been learning about priests and about sacrifices in our morning devotions here in chapel. The Old Testament priests had a number of functions that they were to fulfill for the people of Israel. They were to function in the medical profession. Sometimes they would declare that you had leprosy and pronounce you unclean. And if you healed up from that leprosy, you had to go back to the priest and he would pronounce you clean. Before the days of the temple, they were the ones who carried the Ark of the Covenant. But there was done one duty that was more important, at least as far as the people went, than all of the rest. And that job was to kill animals and sacrifice them to God. Some days it looked like a slaughterhouse around the temple, around the tabernacle. They worked like that with all the sacrifices, but why? Why present those sacrifices? Well, because they were offering sacrifices for the sins of the people, and the people just kept sinning, so they had to keep offering those sacrifices. I don't think there are very many people in our day who still think that God requires a sacrifice for sin. At least not a bloody sacrifice like that. And I think the reason that they don't believe that is because most people today don't really understand the nature of God. If they believe that there is a God at all, they certainly don't understand his nature. But the scripture says that God is holy, and if he is really holy, and the Bible says, of course, that he really is, it says he is a purer substance than to behold sin, and if he is also just at the same time, well, when you put those two factors together, how can he not punish sin? How can he let it go unpunished? The answer is he can't. You say, yeah, but why kill all those animals because of it? Well, it was for several reasons, but especially to impress upon the people of Israel the idea that sin results in death. When sin occurs, somebody's got to die, or something's got to die. It's not just generic death, it's death for you. It wasn't just Adam's sin, although that was the ultimate cause of it, but it was their own sins that caused the death of that animal every time one was sacrificed. And the same with you. This sin caused your death. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but it's stalking you. And it will come just as sure as anything. And the cause wasn't just Adam's sin, it was yours. The soul that sins, it shall die. Think of that for a moment, will you? You just ponder for a minute. Do you ever have those moments of introspection? You should, where you examine yourself. Think of the moments that you spend. What are you thinking about most of the time? Are you thinking about God? Or are you thinking about yourself? Thinking about something maybe that somebody said to you that you didn't like? The hurts that people have done to you? Or are you even thinking about things you can say or do to get even? I have a feeling that if the truth were known, the majority of our thoughts would not be thoughts of the fear, love, and trust in God above all things, would they? You say, yeah, but surely my little sins aren't worthy of death. They're not that bad. Well, they may not seem that bad to us, but sin is measured, of course, by the magnitude of the sin, but also, and we forget this, by the magnitude of the one who is sinned against. If you threaten my life in an email, there's probably not much that's going to happen to you. But if you send a letter to the president threatening his life, it is likely that some big men are going to knock on your door and take you away, right? Why? Because he's got more stature than I do. And God has an infinite stature. And when you sin against him, the smallest sin is infinitely wrong. And that brings us back now to priests. You see, all those Old Testament priests were like batteries. They wore out and they died. Took a constant stream of new priests to take over. And that is a major shortcoming, isn't it? Because what we really need is a priest who can make a sacrifice that lasts for eternity. And we need a priest who can intercede for us for all eternity. One that can go on forever. One that is infinite. We need that priest. We also need the sacrifice that can be an infinite sacrifice. So we need both infinite intercession and an infinite sacrifice, one that is not like animal blood, that can't really take away sin. See, this is the most amazing thing about Jesus. He is both. He is the priest who offers up the sacrifice for sin, and he's also the lamb that is spotless and without blemish that is offered up to pay for sins. And so he is both the priest that can intercede forever for us, and he is also the sacrifice that covers all sins. It's an infinite sacrifice. Let that sink in for just a minute, won't you? Because that really makes true that Old Testament passage that says, though your sins were as scarlet, they will be white as snow. That's you. Wrap your head around that for a second, would you? How can someone who is as guilty as I am, who's done so many ugly things and said so many ugly things, be so innocent? Well, that's the power of the sacrifice, and that's the power of the priest. And so we would pray together. Gracious Lord Jesus, it is beyond amazing that we are in your thoughts. But more than that, as our high priest, you are even interceding for us right now at the Father's throne. So we pray that you would help us in our temptations, defend us against our enemies, and work inside of us so that we who so easily fall into sin may obediently keep your word and put our whole trust in your grace and each day experience your peace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.